Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast from May 4th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal incredibly simple, to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We don't believe America's done. Glenn Beck just said America's done. I don't agree with that at all. It's the greatest country on the face of the earth. We've got problems, though, ladies and gentlemen. No doubt about it, we live in perilous times. But I'm not going to give up on this great country, and I'm not going to give up on her people, and I'm not going to give up on God's laws and morality and teaching the word of God, family, and country. I'm never going to give up on it, folks. I don't believe America's done. I believe we're experiencing a dark period as we turn our back on the Almighty. That's true. But the solution is incredibly simple. Turn to God. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You know, I know it seems that everything should be about Trump all the time, but we got to talk about other things, too. Uh-huh. And one of them is I keep getting these Facebook emails, Kurt. And, you know, it's hard to tell whether they're really from Facebook or whether they're just using Facebook, but they're really not Facebook. You know, you never know with emails these days, hardly, right?
Yeah.
Well, the emails say this, Facebook emails. Swipe left, swipe right, hook up tonight. Ooh. And, Kurt, this just, in my opinion, illustrates the problem we have in America. Is that we have this culture of permissiveness. We have this idea that everything needs to be about sex. Everything about, in my opinion, what directly strikes at the heart of the stability of the traditional family. And that's the big problem I'm having with it, Kurt. I think sex is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But it's defined by God. It's compared to a fire in the fireplace. You know what? It provides tremendous warmth, does wonderful things when used properly. But when it's used outside of that fireplace, it's trouble. And I see the same thing. We focus on this to the point where America's completely distracted by bread and circus, if you will. Sex, entertainment, whatever. Anything to distract, if you will. And I'm afraid that our affluence has really been at the heart of this. You know, when people are affluent, when people have a lot, pretty soon they turn away from God. Pretty soon they think it's their own hands that made them wealthy. Pretty soon they think other people are of lower class. Pretty soon persecutions start. We see this over and over and over and over, and the answer is to return to God and return to humility. And oftentimes the only thing that'll bring that about, Kurt, is a famine, a war, really tough things, an economic meltdown, financial and physical upheaval. Riots in the streets. I was talking to another friend of mine yesterday, and he said, Sam, now that Trump's going to win, you know what? We're going to see blood in the streets before you know it. And my response to that is, I pray you're wrong, but predict you may be right. I don't know where to go with this thing, Kurt, but until we realize what our problems are in America, and that's kind of the issue that I have with Trump. Trump points out over and over and over that we've got problems and we've got to change to make America great again. I agree with that idea. You know, it was even Barack Obama that talked about change. Now we got to make America great again. But neither of them, Trump, Hillary, Romney, Cruz, any of the late politicians, or I should say latest, I don't want to say late, they're not dead. The latest politicians, they all talk about we got to change, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to have a contract with America, said Newt Gingrich. We got to have change, said Barack Obama. We got to make America great again, says Trump. America's already great, says Hillary. But none of them focus on the real road to recovery, the real solutions, the real answers. Not a single one of them, Kurt, except for I heard Scott Bradley, vice presidential candidate on the Constitution Party ticket, do it just the other day. But nobody else is focusing on what do we got to do to make America great again, to really restore the republic and the traditions of our founders. You know, a lot of people say, hey, Cynthia McKinney is who Trump ought to pick. Right? But I don't think that's the answer either, though. Is she focusing on what it would take to make America great again, Kurt? See, I don't think
so.
You
know, I just don't know that much about her, and that's the reason that I think she'd be less likely to be a choice.
Well, she's a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Georgia, Kurt.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying
from
is
the fourth district.
She's not a household name.
Yeah, but the media can make her a household name in 2 seconds.
Well, that's true. But typically what you want these days, and this is the reason you got Trump and Hillary where they are, in my opinion, is they were already household names big time. And so that's why they're...
You're right about that. Now, Cynthia McKinney's not even in office right now, by the way, Kurt.
Okay.
2005 to 2007 was kind of her gig.
Yeah.
Hank Johnson. Anyway, John Linder's district, if you will.
Yep, yep. Very good.
And, you know, she's done some good, Kurt.
All right.
But I'm not convinced that's who I would pick.
Well,
anyway,
yeah.
I bring this all up, though, because look, swipe left, swipe right, hook up tonight. And then you get all these emails about, look, lonely wives looking for love. You can, you know, whatever. This is all over the place, Kurt. Okay? And this is all over the place.
Well, that
in our society.
To the problem that we face, and that is we've turned our back on, you know, basically those Ten Commandments.
Well, that's exactly right. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's why I bring it up. And I know some people would say, Sam, you're just kind of a religious zealot. Or, you know, we're just not as religious as you, Sam. I get it. But I'm telling you, you will not make America any better if you don't realize that morality is at the heart of this meltdown. Or I should say immorality.
Yeah.
Morality is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got to. For example, I get this press release from the Libertarians of Colorado, Kurt.
Yes.
And they write, you know what, ingenious press releases. They do. They really do. And I think we could take a page out of their playbook. But it says, the Libertarian Party of Colorado welcomes the politically homeless, Kurt. Are you politically homeless, sir?
I guess you could maybe say that.
You are, huh? So am I. Because they're saying you don't have an answer, do you? Well, I will say this. I used to be politically homeless until Daryl Castle and Scott Bradley got into the mix.
Yeah.
Now I know my candidate might lose, but I can at least vote on principle. Until then, I couldn't, Kurt.
Yep, that's right.
So I'm not politically homeless anymore. I don't need to go to the Libertarian Party. However, you got to give them credit. It's an incredible incredibly unique twist to the political landscape. The second Cruz gets out and there's this no Trump big push, they're like, hey, are you part of the politically homeless? It's interesting to me, though. You'd think a lot of these libertarians would be Trump supporters, Kurt. But I guess they're not.
Well, you know, I think most people fall for the whole idea of their party, you know, which is really the reason we wanted avoid parties. It's almost like your home football team or basketball or whatever it is. You know, if you're not supporting that, then you're just not a good guy. Doesn't matter how good the other people are.
I see. Well, I'm a great guy, Kurt, and I support true constitutional principles. I don't get into party, but I do get into those who make moral sense. I do believe in those who stand on moral high ground. I do believe in those people who take the supreme law of the land sacredly and seriously. I do believe in those who understand the checks and balances, who understand the proper role of limited government, who understand the role of Congress. They're the purse strings holders, Kurt, and they deal with the domestic issues, and they represent the people. The president pretty much executes those laws which are put on the books by the Congress. He is the great executor, if you will. The Supreme Court is there if somebody missteps to say, wait, constitutionally, here's the right road. Now go back and redraw that. Go back and deal with this differently because you're not going about it properly. And these three branches on the federal level are supposed to primarily deal with foreign affairs and national issues and issues between the states. And then the states and the local municipalities are meant to deal with everything else. Okay, so, you know, we should return to honest money. We should return to sound, honest weights and measures. We should return to the principles that made America great, and I'm supportive of anybody who will do that. I just don't see that Trump or any of these guys will do that at this point. All right, Kurt, tell me how much you know about biohacking after the break, okay? Biohacking.
Yeah.
Are you in?
I'll probably go into real detail on
good.
That.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt's got this in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio stations, republicbroadcasting.org and libertynewsradio.com.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Kurt. You know what biohacking is, sir?
Ooh, I guess that would be you're doing some kind of change to biology.
Yeah.
You're hacking it up.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Well, biology usually relates to the body,
would that
right?
Be like, you know, the guys that do the manipulations of the seeds and stuff like that? Would they be biohacking?
No.
No,
it's if you just implant a chip
like
in your body, Kurt.
Oh, okay. Well,
you cool with that?
Not really.
Biohacking on the rise, my friend.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next in thing. Forget the Apple Watch. Forget the wearable computing. How about the injectable? Tiny piece of rice type biohacking. You know, getting a microchip implanted in the skin. People are doing it, Kurt, more and more and more and more. You know, we used to hear that somebody was doing it, that the government forced somebody to do it, et cetera, et cetera. Some of those rumors true, most of them not true. But now it's becoming mainstream, Kurt. People are ready to... Look, Kurt, would you put a little piece of rice in the back of your hand so that you don't have to carry your wallet and your keys and anymore and your credit cards, Kurt?
No.
Why not, Kurt? What's wrong with you?
Well, yeah, just wacky about sticking things in my body like that.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they want to know what I don't understand why you're not okay with that. They got a big poll out. They want to see who's okay with it and who's not and why. And I'm sure they're going to create a list of the...
Who's okay and who's not.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to keep a list with who's okay, Kurt. They're in, buddy.
Yeah, that's...
They don't need a list of those people. They're just part of the team. You, my friend.
They're in the party.
You, my friend, are an outcast. I mean, Well, you're just not willing to go along, Kurt. We might need to create a hate re-evaluation class for you, my friend.
Yeah, a little training.
Well, because, you know, the hatred that you have is just... First off, it's unparalleled. Secondly, it's not helpful.
Yep.
That's how the communists used to say it. Anyway, biohacking, that is getting chips implanted in your skin. They say it's the future trend. I'm against the plan, like Kurt. I just don't see the value, the need for that at all.
Yep.
Now, you know, it's hard to say. Are you for the thumbprint, Kurt? Are you okay with that?
The thumbprint, what do you mean? Like your finger?
Well, for identification, sir.
You know, wouldn't it be nice if the, you know, the federal government would just follow what the Constitution says for it to do, and then the states and the counties and stuff could take care of things the way they wanted. Maybe the sheriff would know the people in his county. I mean, if he didn't, he could find out from the mayor of the little town or whatever and say, is this guy okay or who is this? But, you know, we've come so far now where we've got all these, you know, things that are supposed to keep us all safe, you know, with all this technology and everything. You know, it's like the technology they put in for the voting machines. And I'm like, well, why don't we just go back to the paper and pencil, you know? But
because you're ruining trees, buddy, and how are they going to steal elections like that? Come on.
Yeah, true. That's very important.
All right. Paul Brown's emailing me begging for money for U.S. Congress. See, I used to like Paul Brown because I felt like he was kind of a replacement for Ron Paul. He's a pretty solid guy. But then I tried to get a hold of Paul Brown to see if he wanted to come on the radio with us. I tried to discuss some things with him, and all I could get was his staff saying, are you from his district? And I'd say no, and then say, oh, well, he's not available. He's just too busy for you. And so I just think, well, then don't reach out to your district and email me or call me then.
Yeah.
Have it your way. You're better than Burger King.
Yep.
All right. Now, Kurt, is this a different email? You emailed me about this $2 lunch thing.
We
talked
about this before, but what I wanted, you know, I went in depth on this story. Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed it, you know, Liberty News Daily reported about this, where this little kid at some school, forget which one, basically she was given an old $2 bill, like back in the 50s. This $2 bill, the problem with it is they couldn't use their little new little pins to check and see if they're fake on them. It didn't work on there because, you know, this is an old $2 bill. In fact, this is what they call a United States note. And when you look at the in-depth reporting, they show in their video, they show the Federal Reserve note $2 bill, but then they show the lady holding the old $2 bill that was a United States note. Now, the media source there in, I think it's Houston, they don't really go into that. But they do talk about how, oh, you know. This
Kurt, let me just stop you. They don't have the knowledge to go into that, my friend.
Well, I know, but, I mean, at least if they're really.
You know what they need to do to gain the knowledge?
Stuff.
They'd have to come to a seminar where we are and see Kurt Crosby whenever we have a booth for Liberty News Radio or CSPOA or any of the different things that we do. Then they could come and they could hang out at the money table with Kurt Crosby for a little bit, and they'd basically get an education on the history of money. Then they might be a little more equipped to handle that, Kurt. But right now, these people are just ignorant and don't even know better.
Yeah. I had just, I was interested to see if they really did show it. I thought since they said it was from 1953 and there was all this hullabaloo about it, it was probably a United States note. Now, they're red where the ones we have now are green, basically. You know, the printing is that way. And so that's what tipped these smart guys off that, hey, you know, something's wrong here. But in the end, they spent all this money, money.
Oh, they spent plenty of money, my friend.
Yeah.
And they spent plenty of $2 bills, sir.
And, found out that, hey, this wasn't fake. At all. It was real. In fact, this is the kind of money they should have said in their report that at least doesn't get interest attached to it when it's made. It's our own printed money, like Abraham Lincoln did. And of course, the last president to do it was in 63 with JFK. But
the point is, it's a United States note that does not bear interest, different from a Federal Reserve note, which does. By the way, what's an ISB cop, Kurt?
Well, ISD is school district, Indiana school district, or independent school district, I guess they call it. It says Fort Bend Independent School District, or ISD. I think that's what that means. I know, there it is. It's up a little bit above that. Fort Bend Independent School District's Krista McAuliffe Middle School. So then it talks about ISD. Typically ISD. Let's see, ISDs or something else, aren't they? But anyway, maybe that's IUD. That's right. That's what that is. Okay, never mind. Anyway, bottom line is...
hey, wait a minute. IUDs are to prevent pregnancies, Kurt.
That's what I'm saying.
By the way, they say, don't worry, these self-driving cars, people are sure to have sex in them.
Oh, yeah.
Expect that, Kurt. Well, so that's what I mean by the media is just replete with promotion of sex everywhere.
Yep, good point.
We just seem to be spiraling downwards. The media is lying again, Kurt. Are you surprised?
Shocking.
American Family Association reporting now. Media repeating false reports about AFA and Target. Did you see this one?
Nope. But it sure doesn't surprise me. You know what I mean?
All right. It's an AFA action alert is what they call it, Kurt.
Yeah.
And we're closing in on 1.2 million people that have signed the pledge to boycott Target. And that's good news.
Uh-huh.
Now, but it turns out that they say, Dear Sam, there's a false report being circulated on Facebook by liberal media outlets that the AFA has encouraging men to go into women's changing rooms and or bathrooms at Target. This is completely false. Amen to that. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Investigative reporter Seymour Hersh has implicated former Secretary of State and Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton in an attempt to transfer chemical weapons from Libya into the hands of Syrian rebels. Hersh has previously reported on a 2012 secret agreement between the Obama administration and the governments of Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar to orchestrate a sarin gas attack in Syria and blame the atrocity on Syrian ruler Bashar al-Assad. In a recent interview, Hersh suggested that Ambassador Chris Stevens, who died during the attack on the U.S. consular annex in Benghazi, was certainly involved in the transfer of weapons stockpiles from Libya to Syria, and that there's no way somebody in that sensitive position is not talking to the boss, who in this case was then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Addressing an audience in Connecticut on the subject of gun control, Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton offered some surprisingly approving remarks on the subject of what she called positive gangs. "You know, joining a gang is like having a family," Mrs. Clinton stated. "It's feeling like you're part of something bigger than yourself. So we're either going to have gangs that murder and rob and do the things that are so destructive to the gang members and to the community, or we're going to have positive gangs. We're going to have positive alternatives for young people." St. George, Utah, a city of about 80,000 near the Arizona border, has a crime rate much less than half the national average, one that has consistently declined over the past decade. Despite the relative tranquility enjoyed by St. George residents, the city police department just announced the acquisition of a new fleet of 35 customized Ford Interceptor police vehicles at an estimated cost of $1.6 million. Edward Flint, a criminal defense attorney who resides in St. George, says that the vehicle purchase offers a telling example of the local government's priorities. The entire indigent defense budget for Washington County is $760,000, less than half the cost of the expensive fleet of cutting-edge police interceptors. The socialist government of Venezuela cannot keep the lights on, the store shelves filled, or print its own money, but it continues to believe that it can create wealth by decree. President Nicolas Maduro has responded to surging inflation and economic contraction by issuing an order raising the country's minimum wage by 30% effective May 1st. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Media repeating false reports about AFA and Target. They're saying that the American Family Association is encouraging men to go into women's changing rooms and bathrooms in Target. This media charge is blatantly false, says the American Family Association. Kurt, have you checked out the latest number of signers we got on that AFA.net plan?
Let's see.
While you're looking that up, the big the big tidbit on this is that they're saying, you know what, we've almost got 1.2 million signers. That impact is big enough. But the stock for Target starting to tank in direct relation there, too. So even though Target wants to pretend this doesn't have a big impact, just go look at the stock if you want another proof in the pudding for the influence we wield and exercise with regards to this. The impact is tremendous, Kurt, and that's kind of the takeaway from this.
Yeah, it's 1,171,563 signers, according to their website.
Have you seen the stock tank for Target?
Yeah. Well, at least I've seen the stories about that, you know, talking about that. And, you know, I mean, let's say you're a stock holder. You ought to be aware that, you know, almost, 1.2 million families, people are kind of ticked off at your organization. Typically, you know, companies move when one little person complains and holds up a sign.
But only if it's like for immorality, Kurt.
Yeah.
Only if it's for, you know, violations of the family.
The other way, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. We just listened to all the people that didn't call, didn't sign, didn't whatever.
Yep.
But I submit to you that these people that are boycotting Target, if they hold stock, need to dump it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
All right, Kurt, there's a headline in Liberty News Daily as well that I thought fascinating. You know, we hear about police abuse oftentimes, and you and I kind of draw a fine line. We realize that there are many police agencies and cops that are out of control. We blame a lot of the out-of-control behavior on the training they get. They're trained to believe that the public is their enemy. They're trained to believe that they have unlimited power, basically. They're armed with all kinds of toys to make them violent. So there's a lot of things against police officers, in my opinion, that push them in the direction that we see going, where they're too hostile, they're too violent, they're too forceful. And so there's been a real backlash against that as of late, where people hate the cops. I think that's ill-placed, personally. I agree that we need to think about peace officers, not law enforcement. I agree with that general idea. But I also agree with the idea that many of the cops are good in America. There's a lot of good people. And what we need to do is make sure that they build a relationship with their community. We really need to work on training programs so they realize that it's a sacred trust they've been given, that they have an oath of office that they must uphold and adhere to. Their oath needs to matter. They need to be oath keepers, if you will. And we really need to build relationships there and then train them that there are peaceful solutions. And one of the big things that has rocketed across the country is this de-escalation training, Kurt. But now there's a headline in LibertyNewsDaily.com that says this. Only 1% of police agencies cooperating in use of force study. So they're trying to get a handle on what use of force is going on in an effort to decrease and or stop it, right? They say last year, amid nationwide concerns over a perceived increase in violence and unlawful violence by police, the Barack Obama administration announced what they're calling a police data initiative, in which state and local law enforcement agencies were invited to collect and publicize department statistics on, quote, use of force incidents. According to the Washington Post, a year after the project was launched, only 53 jurisdictions have committed to it, covering, they say, about 41 million people. Now, they got certain cities that are participating in this project. For example, New York, Baltimore, Los Angeles, they're all involved. I guess Montgomery County, Maryland is involved as well, but there's specific huge organizations that have refused to take part, Kurt. The ones that have refused cover, quote, 85% of the population. So there you have it. What do you think on this, Kurt? Any comments before I go on here?
Well, if you were to sum up, what you've said, basically, how would you do it, Sam? I mean, you know.
I would say this. Cop agencies are so forceful and so out of control these days and so over the top in so many jurisdictions. The whole nation, including Barack Obama, agrees that we got to reduce the violence. So let's get excessive use force statistics and publish them so that we can eventually try to change that.
Yeah. Well, you know, all I can say is, at least in my opinion, we've got bigger fish to fry. We ought to say, look, you know, we took God out of the schools in 1963, basically, and look at what's happened in America ever since. We need to return, you know, so many things, and we need to return Americans' money to them. You know, at that time or right near that time, most Americans paid about 5 cents out of every dollar that they earned. Now we pay close to 60 cents out of every dollar that we earn for all government. You know, we're headed in the wrong direction. I don't really see the whole police or sheriff thing being much different than all these other parts, but it is something that, you know, people like to focus on. You know, to me, there's a whole bunch of problems, and, you know, it starts with out of control government at almost all levels that I'm aware of.
In fact, what's fascinating about this, Kurt, is you and Barack Obama agree on the problem. I agree on the problem that, you know what, we do have excessive force being used by all elements in government. The police, many times, is more egregious because they've been armed to the teeth, and that's kind of their role as macho, commando. You're going to do what I say and you're going to comply, sir. Or I'm going to, you know, take it to you kind of an idea. But you and Barack would go about it completely different. Barack would say, let's get statistics on this. Let's make them public. Let's crank up another government expenditure / government arm to deal with this thing. Yeah. Kurt would take the opposite approach to the problem and say, look, you're just dealing with symptoms right now, Barack and crew. The symptoms are out of control, violent people at all levels, whether it be cop, male, female, girl, boy, young, old. There's a violence. There's a lack of civility in our society and our culture. yeah, the cops may be at the tip of the spear, but the solution is much more fundamental and basic than that. You go back to teaching people to obey the Ten Commandments. You go back to decreasing the size and scope of government, and you make tremendous ground. I agree with Kurt on this. However, I will say this. It's an opportunity for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association,
yes,
and other groups like that, Kurt, to come in and train towards this peaceful viewpoint that we speak of. And it doesn't take government at all. See, the CSPOA is basically a private organization, Kurt, that'll do this training very inexpensively for organizations across the country. I think that's the road we ought to go. Put it in the private sector.
Great.
And a lot of these police agencies, Kurt, I think that the reason that they won't sign up for Barack's plan is because what they see is it's nothing more than eventually, at first it's like polite. You know, Kurt, you really ought to wear your seatbelt. Yeah. You really should, Kurt. Police agencies, you really ought to report your abuse here. But then what's going to happen is Big Daddy government's going to get in the middle and say, now that you've reported all this, now we realize what a crisis it is. We don't think it's just a good idea to wear your seatbelt. In fact, if they don't click it, you're getting a ticket, Kurt. And yep, it used to be the where we couldn't pull you over for that, but if it was an additional thing we see after we pulled you over, we can deal with it. Now we can pull you over for it. And now we can. And so a lot of these police agencies, Kurt, rightly so, are opting out of the program because they know what it leads to. Yep. It leads to increased expenditures by government. It leads to increased federal encroachment in local matters. And it relates to they're going to start using budgetary realities against them. If you don't do this, or if you don't comply with that, or if you don't, then we're going to withhold money and financing and grants. And these agencies realize this, Kurt, and they don't want any part of it.
Yep.
So only 1% of police agencies cooperating in use of, quote, force study. But my response to that is, what if we had private training organizations, and how many percent could the CSPOA get to take training and to de-escalate into de-escalation training and oath-keeping training and proper role of law enforcement, peace officers, or whatever you want to say, training? How about that on the local level with local jurisdiction, local accountability? And as the 10th Amendment says, leave the feds flat out of it, Kurt.
Yeah. Great point.
So there's the problem, and in my opinion, Kurt nailed the solution. We got to deal with it locally. We got to deal with it non-governmentally. We got to deal with it in the private sector. We got to deal with it building relationships with our police officers, our peace officers. But the police officers need to keep their oaths of office. They need to defend the people. They need to have a relationship with the people they defend. It all starts there. The FBI is in the middle of it all. Speaking of out of control FBI and law enforcement and government, I'll tell you about it in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live. This is indeed news the networks refuse to use, wouldn't you say?
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic, but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The FBI given permission to conduct NSA-styling hacks. All right, so there. This is a strange story, folks. FBI given permission to conduct NSA-style hacking ops. May 2nd, 2016, on LibertyNewsDaily.com. The Supreme Court has made a, quote, small but critical modification to the federal rules of criminal procedure that'll permit federal judges to authorize FBI operations that hack multiple computers, including devices that are owned by people that are not being investigated. Gizmodo had the details. The revised rules will allow the FBI or the Bureau to hack people who are known to be innocent. Previously, they couldn't do this, Kurt. It's a huge violation of our rights. And it's done virtually by the courts in the back rooms, virtually in secret, if you will. And it gives rise for concern, to say the least. Your thoughts on this?
When you look at this whole, thing, this it reminds me of the, the Ruby Ridge thing where you've got the guys basically saying, hey, Randy, you can, please cut this shotgun off a half an inch shorter. I mean, it's always about, for these different law enforcement groups, ways that they can, at least supposedly keep us safer, when many times I think they're kind of, if not part of the problem, the problem. When you see the NSA doing hacking themselves, when you see the FBI, basically acting like criminals, they say to catch criminals, I think many times their activity encourages it. I look back and I think of Gunsmoke, if you will, or, that's where you had Marshall Dillon. And I don't remember any episodes where he would don a robber's kind of outfit and go in and steal money at the bank just to see who would join him and then put the other guys in jail because he said, yeah, I found some guys that were bad and I, did it this way. We robbed the bank and we killed a few people, but at least I knew who would do that, and so that's why we put them in jail. I don't remember those kind of things. Do you, Sam?
No, I don't.
But that's the way our modern guys seem to go about it. I would doubt, though, that the good sheriffs that we know of, like Sheriff Nick Finch, Sheriff, you know, so many of the different ones we could list. Denny
Brad
Pyman,
Rogers.
I doubt very seriously if they have any, like, undercover guys that are, like, going in and trying to, you know, see who will commit a crime with them so that then they can figure out who to put in jail that way. You know, I think they're typically just trying to find the bad guys without encouraging more bad stuff, you know?
Well, and that's kind of the question is, when do you become provocateur? You know, this idea that we're going to hack people of innocence. What a great way to get anger from the public. I mean, if somebody hacks my phone and says, Sam, we had to because, you know, you had dealings with Ammon Bundy, and we know Ammon Bundy went off the rails, and so therefore we had to hack all your stuff too. See, that's an assault on my Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. That's an assault on my right to privacy. They have no authority or right to do that. And when the government does that, all they do is create anger, frustration, and mistrust unnecessarily, Kurt.
Yep.
Okay, I've done nothing wrong. I've been almost 50 years in this wonderful country, and I run around and praise the country all the day long. I acknowledge our problems, and we put forth solutions to solve the problems. But nobody can say that I'm violent. Nobody can say that I have any tendency towards violence. There's been no evidence of that at all in my 50-year history in America, Kurt. And that's why it's really an assault to me to even suggest they can hack me because I'm innocent or whatever. They have no authority. And when they violate their power, their responsibility, this is the problem that we have. The only thing that will rein them in is the checks and balances, Kurt.
Yep, great point. Yep.
Very interesting.
Yep.
Where do we go from here? Is there anything we can do about it? I mean, the FBI, I don't even believe it's constitutional, Kurt.
Well, that's where we go back and you look at, you know, at least in my opinion, look at the early days of our country. You know, what kind of things did the Constitution outline? What was the federal government supposed to do? Was it supposed to be sending the FBI into every state, figuring out stuff and basically becoming, in my opinion, part of the problem in many ways? And I don't mean every FBI agent is this way, but, you know, you've just got to look and say, hey, what worked before for America? Why wouldn't it work again the same way?
Right. So I just find it fascinating when we look at this. The problem with the government, Kurt, is everything they do, even when they do something that on the surface seems good, you find out there's some other motive. There's some other, okay? I'll give you an example. Microsoft upgraded us to Windows 10, and then wants everybody to upgrade to it.
Yeah.
It's a better operating system in many ways, Kurt.
Is it?
Yeah. Here's the problem. They've now turned it into massive spyware, report homeware on you and everything you do. So even though it's got some good updates to the software that are pretty neat, and even though eventually you're probably going to be forced to go along, why are they doing that? And that's what happens when government does things. They often do the same similar idea where it's like, you know what? I support Barack's idea that we got some cops that are too aggressive out there. I just don't support what he's planning to do about it. I agree that we've got criminals that need to be stopped in America, but I don't agree with the FBI looking into innocent people as and just asking for the courts to give them a, quote, bigger net, if you will. Okay, there are lines that we must not cross, even though those lines are exploited by criminals. I get that, but I also get, do you want security and liberty, or do you want neither? And if you cross those lines, you're pretending you're giving up a little bit of one to gain the other, but that's the lie. You're losing both.
Yep. There you go. Now, a little footnote on that Target boycott in the stock thing, Sam. Breitbart has a headline with says that the Target stock has taken a $2.5 billion hit. Now, when you look at the other boys, the boys who say that, oh, this is a joke. There's, for example, Reason.com, and they basically give you a long history of the stock and say, hey, it goes up and down, and these guys are really no big deal. All I can say is, if you're a company, I don't care if you're Target or anybody else, you might want to remember the, well, first almost rule of business, and that would be the customer's always right. You know, it reminds me of the days of old of when the dairyman wanted to tell everybody, all these people drinking milk, that there was no problem with this, you know, shots that they would give from a company called Monsanto to cows. Now, they wanted to try to explain it away and all this kind of stuff, but the bottom line is their customers, the people that drink milk, who many of them now drink almond milk or soy milk or something else like that.
Rice milk, yeah.
They said they didn't want it in there, but it took them a long time to really hear it, and it made a lot of those, you know, new products, competing products, you know.
Well, and it's kind of reminds me of baseball in America, Kurt. You know, baseball used to be the America's pastime. Baseball used to be, baseball, hot dogs, the America way. And then baseball had this big old lockout union or player financial battle, whatever you want to call it. And strikes and all this stuff.
These guys that are making a couple of million bucks a year are saying that, hey, they, you know, they don't feel treated fairly.
But what happened is,
most of us just said, hey, you guys are a bunch of, you know, basically, you should be complaining about this.
Yeah, baseball lost its place as the American pastime in the wake of all that. And I submit to you, it's kind of similar. The milk, dairy cow people, it used to be like milk does the body good, right?
Yep.
And they used to have all these awesome slogans and people, but now people are just going, I don't want pasteurized, destroyed, chemically modified, chemically injected milk. I don't want that. I'd rather drink soda pop. And frankly, it's hard to say that soda pop's a whole lot worse for you than milk.
Well, especially the, you know, genetically modified kind, you know.
I mean, yeah, and you got all these chemicals injected in there and hormones and this and that. And then they add
nice
vitamins, supposedly.
It is nice to know that there are some solutions if we...
I think we just focus on vitamin D fortified Mountain Dew, you know. I'm just making a point to demonstrate the absurd. Your point is there are solutions, Kurt. The local dairy?
Yeah.
Can people even do that now?
Backyard.
Don't you have to sign a pledge to go ahead and drink milk, Kurt? It's raw milk now. Is it like a...
Probably.
You got to sign a document, I think, to do that.
The last day's good is called evil, and evil is called good.
So. Not on this program. Evil's called evil, and good's called good. News the networks refuse to use, taking center stage, ladies and gentlemen. Do me a favor and thank republicbroadcasting.org, libertynewsradio.com. Donate today. Would love your support. Every penny will help us grow our presence in the media. Good, honest Americans working together to unify the republic and stand against tyranny everywhere. Liberty is the order of the day. I submit the greatest nation on earth, the United States, this nation shall endure.